six, seven members, eight, nine. But then it says 1/3 of them should be members of, should be parents, which would mean you'd have to have at least four parents in addition to the members I noted. So it's really isn't exactly constructed perfectly for the way things work nowadays. But again, three members from Department of, what was once called Mental Retardation, three members from BESPE, someone from the Commission on the Deaf, someone from Oak Hill, and someone from the New England Regional Center. It doesn't tell you you can't have other members. It says appropriate consultants will be invited, including the American Foundation for the Blind and the Helen Keller Center. It's actually, when I read that, it's not clear to me that they're invited to be members or invited to come to the meetings. It's not clear. If I had to guess, I would say they'd be invited to come to the meetings and give advice. I don't know. It's kind of confusing, and it was 40 years ago, and I don't know what they all meant. But
Andrew, I just wanted to hop in on one quick comment. The reason the mention of parents, and I don't know if guardians were included, was because in the initial survey that was undertaken by BESPE, or on behalf of BESPE, by a contracted psychologist, Sal Fried, who had done a lot of work in New York State, and was brought up to survey to discover how many persons with deaf blindness there were in Connecticut. The survey resulted in everyone but one client who was identified being also a client of what was then called the Department of Mental Retardation, now referred to as Department of Developmental Services. So at that time, literally everyone for whose benefit this program was constructed was a person who had a parent or guardian who was acting sort of in loco parentis, even though they were adults.
And is that no longer, so I take it now you have a lot of people in the program for whom there wouldn't be a parent.
Yeah, I mean, there wouldn't be, but not in a meaningful role, that's what's previously the case.
So it's kind of hard, because here's the regulation telling us what to do, but it's a little bit, not discombobulated, but a little bit disjointed with current circumstances. I think that you should make sure that advocates, as in addition to parents, are on the board, on the advisory committee, I should say, on the advisory committee, because obviously when it says parent representatives, it means they want people who can speak up for the actual people being served. So even if you may not always have parents, it seems to me like you want to make sure that you have advocates, and you do have them, right? I mean, that's a number of members on the board are advocates, isn't that right?
This is Barbara. Having been around forever, I remember when this all even was, it was done, and Peter was young at the time. He's now 52, so he was one of the younger people in the pilot study and one of the select clients. I think that there was usually a person who represented Southbury. And then for some reason there were problems getting a representative, but then we had I forget her name, but she was representing Southbury. And I think also at some point along the line we added, if it was not a parent, it was the person themselves, which would be Hanna, because she represents people who receive the services. So, in effect, maybe we almost do that with myself as a parent and Kathy Morgan as a guardian of two individuals. Maybe we almost do have the recommended, you know, number of people that is set in that original document. However, it's just sort of evolved along the way as we kind of worked through it.
And I don't think that's any big crime, that as the needs evolve, as the population has expanded and changed, it isn't just people at Southbury and Mansfield at Oak Hill anymore. And I think everyone agrees that you wouldn't want to keep it to just that population. There's other people out there with needs, and there's money to help. So this ought to be rewritten, and that takes some time, but I think I will say that the agency that these ought to be redrafted, these regulations. It takes a while to do that. It's a bureaucratic, legalistic process with a lot of steps. But in the meantime, I think you should do your best to have a board and advisory committee that's made up of the institutions that are engaged in these services, made up of people from BSBE, because they're the point agency coordinating at least the expenditure of these funds, and representatives of clients or clients themselves, so that that voice is heard. So I would say that, and also it says the New England Regional Center and someone from CDHI. Now you could ask that it be, you know, the Commission of the Deaf and Hearing Impaired has been sucked up into the current Aging and Disabilities Services Agency. So you could say, well, I should have one more person from ADS, or there is this new advisory board for persons who are deaf and hard of hearing. Maybe you could knock on their door and say it ought to be someone there, but in any case, someone who's engaged in serving people who are deaf. That's, you know, and the best way of honoring that would be to make sure you have someone who's engaged in providing services to people who are deaf. So you've got agency people from BSBE, someone who serves people who are deaf, Oak Hill, DMR, sorry, I'm old too, I have trouble not saying DMR, and then advocates and clients and parents. And that's the balance you ought to try to strike. And I think basically you're doing a good job of that. I have to review the membership list again, but seems like it's a good group. I don't know if there should be more client representatives. Barbara, you said there's you and who? Kathy and Hannah?
Well, Hannah would fall into the representation of, she represents herself as a person who, you know, classified as deafblind. Yep. So that would be at least three. Yeah.
Yep. And then this is Sandy. Emily was an advocate at the training school.
Right.
But she has since retired. But we do have more advocates at the training school that maybe I could pursue that, Andrew.
Well, that might be, you know, you might want another person. Although, if you also have, you know, I see Lisa Flaherty Vaughn, she has been on the board, but I take it now, Lisa, that you were president of the association, but now someone else is president of the association. Is that person deafblind also? Maybe they have to be, I don't know.
Sherry's saying, yes, that's me. I'm Sherry.
So that's another person on top of Hannah, who's a, you know, an affected party. So, yeah, I think that's four people, right?
Four or five, yeah.
Yeah, so I think you meet that standard.
Hannah, Sherry has a comment. Hold on 1 second.
Yes, thank you. I am a president. I explained back in April. That we were going to be initiating a formal letter. I just wasn't sure who I was supposed to be sending it to, if it was Andrew.
Why don't you send it to me and Chris Lassen?
Hold on 1 second, Chris. I mean, Andrew, hold on.
Well, I'm sorry, I called it.
You're talking, sorry.
Because we have, our DBAC representative has not been involved here because of that. We would like for them, you know, we would like for you all to be part of our meeting. I need to talk to that person because she is not representing DBAC. We at the our board, DBAC, needs to be the person who's being represented here. And so I will be emailing those of you who I spoke about before, and we'll be talking more in detail about the issue that I'm referring to here now. And we're going to switch interpreters. Just a second, please.
And also we have, Andrew, did you want to finish your comment?
I did have.
And Lisa Flaherty would like to say something.
I did have one question, and then I think I may not be done, but I'm done for now. Which is, do I take it then the Deafblind Association of Connecticut wishes that their president be the representative from that group on the board, on the advisory committee? Because it doesn't have to be the president, but is that the wish of the Deafblind Advisory Coalition, or wait, what's the C stand for?
Committee.
Hold on one second.
We're the Deafblind Advisory Committee.
Hold on one second.
Sherry is responding. Thank you for asking that clarification. I am the president of the DBAC currently. However, was unaware that Lisa was not added as a DBAC representative in our report and notes. We had no record of this. This is something I need to discuss with her and have that be voted in our June 11th meeting. It is something we are going to add to our agenda. My name is currently on there as president and representative for the DBAC, and I'm glad to do that, to continue that. We will discuss it further at the next meeting.
Oh, okay. So, may I ask another question? So,
go ahead.
This group is the Deafblind Advisory Committee. Your group is the Deafblind Association of Connecticut. So in both cases, you might refer to them as the DBAC. Right? So we gotta know which DBAC we're talking about, it sounds like. If I've got that right.
Sherry, response, just one moment. You are correct. This is something we have noticed as well, that the Advisory Committee and the Association of Connecticut Committee both have the same acronym. So I do think that for our purposes, I add the M to the end of your acronym and know that it refers to meetings as opposed to our acronym, which I do not include that for, but I do agree it's confusing.
Okay. No, I just wanted to get past the confusion. Thank you very much.
Lisa Flaherty has her hand up. Hold on one second.
Lisa Flaherty. Sherry just finishing her statement that she will be sending out an email, that letter to you soon. And Lisa Flaherty's turn. Yes, this is Lisa responding in regards to Cherry's comment. The DBAC is a committee that I have resigned from. That letter has been sent over to Marjorie to formally notify Chris and Margie of my resignation as president from that committee's position. I am now working for the Deafblind Advocacy Services here in Connecticut, working with them, excuse me. When the proposal motion is presented for the specific position, that would be something that is separate, where Cherry would continue to be the president and representative in running that committee. So I do appreciate that clarification being entered in. Thank you.
This is Pat Clark. I just wanted to double check. I thought Jesse had his hand up before and just wanted to make sure that he didn't have something that he wanted to comment on. Hold on one second.
Thank you, Pat, yes, Jesse here. I did need to run out for a moment, so I apologize for that. Unsure whether what point on the agenda we are on right now, but I did have a question in regards to the bylaws previously. Andrew had discussed a couple of the different points within the bylaws and the representatives from other agencies and so on. I am wondering, though, whether the bylaws state specific representation, as in what requirements are needed. Do we need a deafblind individual, a hearing individual? Just wondering if that's clarified within the bylaws, whether if that is not in there, and if not, then I do feel it's something that we would need to add to the bylaws, requiring, you know, a certain number of deafblind individuals to be representatives or represented throughout the state as representatives.
Yes, the I haven't been referring to the bylaws, I'm referring to the regulations. If there are bylaws for this committee, I happen not to have a copy of them. I don't know if Chris or Margie, but I don't think they do either. And I'm embarrassed to say, if there were bylaws, I don't have a copy of them. And I've searched, and I haven't found them. I will do another search in Brian Sigmund's, it just occurred to me, I'll search in Brian Sigmund's filing cabinets, because he left a bunch of files intact, and I haven't looked there yet. But I've been referring to the regulations. And they don't specifically address representation by deafblind individuals. So Jesse's right. If you wanted that, it sounds like people do, you would want to add that. If you did draw up bylaws, you might want to add that. Or if we rewrote these regulations, you might want to add that. Right now, it just talks about parents and other professionals in the business. But it just talks about parents when it comes to as civilians.
Sherry has a comment. Hold on 1 second.
Yes, Sherry, thank you, Lisa, for explaining that to me. I think I was a little confused that we were not notified that you told Margie, you issued this letter to Margie and that you are now representing this other agency. Please confirm, I would appreciate this clarification and maybe discussing this further with Margie and Chris, the four of us may be able to discuss this further. We here at the DBAC were unaware of you being added on to this other agency, so please notify us going forward. Thank you.
And I'll just finish by saying, other than the specific representatives, like the New England Regions Regional Center and DDS and BESB and Oak Hill, that beyond that, it would be up to this board to decide whom to elect to the board. It's up to you guys to decide who else should be on the board. I mean, if you may decide you want to have people who are deafblind, but it'll be up to the committee to decide who to pick.
Anna, you're muted. We can't hear you. No. We still cannot hear you. No.
Mute.
There you
okay.
go.
Okay. All right. I apologize. My iPad died, so I hooked onto my cell phone. That's why I was. Sometimes you saw two of me, that is why. So we shall be moving on. I know we have 10 minutes left. And thank you, Andrew, and thank you for a very valuable discussion. Let's see, election of new members, and then report from the chair. I don't have anything I can say, but Chris Lassen, election of new members, is that something you want to comment on? And then we'll have announcements. Go ahead.
Yes, this is Chris again. And I know that, so we did have some discussion because I think those of us on the staff here were unsure. I think when we elected Lisa Flaherty Vaughn to the Deafblind Advisory Committee, it was in her capacity as the president of the Deafblind Association of Connecticut. And so we were, you know, trying to clarify how the Deafblind Association of Connecticut wanted to go forward with being, you know, represented on this body, the Deafblind Advisory Committee. And so it's for that reason that we added this item to the agenda. And again, I think I'm sort of deferring to Andrew in his role interpreting sort of membership categories or requirements, and asking for a little bit of guidance, because now, you know, it seems clear that if I'm not, I believe that we have, certainly Lisa is interested in apparently in continuing on this committee, but we also have the question about representation from the Deafblind Association of Connecticut, and I was looking for Andrew to give us a little bit of guidance here.
Chris, just wanted to let you know that Lisa Flaherty answered yes, you are correct. She would like to continue.
Right. Thank you.
Well, I can, I'm not the boss of this committee. I do recall, it was my impression from, you know, a couple years ago or whatever, that Lisa was elected because the board thought that the president of the Deafblind Association should be serving on the committee. And that it was in that capacity that she was elected. And so I don't mean to jump into any, you know, situation here or dispute, but so it had been my impression that when the Deafblind Association selected a new president, that that new president would move into Lisa's slot and Lisa would move off of the committee. Not for any personal reason, but just because she was elected as the president, and there's now a new president, so the new president would take her place. But I'm not here to tell the committee what to do. That's just what I thought was going to be what was happening. The committee is under no actual obligation to elect the president of the Deafblind Association or any other person who's not named in the regulation. And that association may not have existed then. It's not named in the regulation. So if the committee still feels that the reason they elected Lisa was because she was president, and now there's a new president, so they should elect the new person, the new president, to take Lisa's place, that's what, and understand that Lisa's replacement as president means that she's now off the committee, that's what the committee can do. Or the committee can do kind of whatever it wants when it comes to adding additional members beyond those in the statute. We're talking about discretionary members at this point. So I don't feel comfortable telling the committee what it must do. I can say I knew what I thought was going to be what was happening, but the committee can do kind of what it wants. And so I'm sorry that's not an instruction, but I don't have an instruction to give you. You can elect one of them, both of them, none of them. Sorry if that's not an instruction, but there isn't an instruction to be given in this case.
Bessie Stanley has a comment. Hold on 1 second.
Yes, hi, Jesse here. So I am obviously the most recent committee member that has been added, and I did want to kind of clarify a little bit on what has happened with me. I was the MEH representative of American School, or there was, excuse me, an MEH representative at American School for the Deaf who resigned. That letter was then sent to our committee at American School for the Deaf, notifying them that I would be the new candidate that has now since then been voted on amongst this committee to be able to join on as a voting member. So knowing that that was what happened thus far, and in regards to the DBAC and Lisa Flaherty, I feel that right now the current president who has taken over, we are, I guess, then now just responsible for deciding whether that current president will now become a committee member. If Lisa does want to continue on, that is something I would like to motion and support. She has been a valuable representative for the deafblind community here and has worked hard for years in that. I'm wondering if we can maybe sort of change her hat in a sense, rather than being the DBAC representative. We could then have her be the DBSAN representative, where she will be the representative of a new agency that has been established here in Connecticut for the deafblind community to provide better access to services, and does seem to be a better fit for her. I'm wondering if that could be another approach to this.
Okay, this is Hannah Tyler. I know we are limited. We have about 5 minutes left. I don't know which way to go, but there are a lot of topics to think about. Are there any announcements that we can make before we close?
Well, Hannah, this is Chris. I was going to say that we could certainly entertain a motion.
Okay, I was thinking perhaps, can we make a motion for accepting the new president, or whoever wants to make a motion, we can take a vote since we have a quorum. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So yeah, I think you could certainly accept a motion to add Cherie Burns to the committee representing the Deafblind Association of Connecticut.
Jesse Stanley's hand is up.
And so, Jesse here, yes, I would also like to make a motion to, to support that motion as Cherie be the representative for the Deafblind Association of Connecticut as a representative for this committee. And Eric here is seconding Jesse's motion as well.
May we have a second?
Eric seconded that motion. Eric Krangle.
Okay. And all in favor? And of course, any opposed?
I am not seeing any hands up. Eric Kringle's hand is up, but I don't think it's for our votes.
Okay.
So he's shaking his head. No, it's not for our votes. I am supporting, and Tara is saying she supports as well.
Okay, so that we all accept.
So, Hannah?
Yes, Chris?
Do you want to entertain a motion that Lisa Flaherty Vaughn be elected as a representative of the Deafblind Support and Access Network, or just as a citizen member? as a person who's deafblind. She could be unattached to that association. You could make that choice. But anyway.
This is Hannah Tyler.